If you would just turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Joshua, chapter 1. And I want to speak something that is very familiar to many Christians. And it's a phrase, I think, that I personally cannot hear enough. But it's that wonderful phrase that's repeated over and over again, where the Lord says to Joshua, "Be strong and very courageous." And the title of this message this afternoon is, "Be strong and very courageous, for you are living in Joshua's time." For you are living in Joshua's time. Joshua 1, and if we could start in verse 5. And it says, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest." Verse 9, "Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." And these words were spoken to Joshua right after the death of Moses. And this, in historically, is a time where the children of Israel are going to emerge from the shadows of spiritual defeat. And they're actually going to go into the promised land under Joshua. And that spiritual defeat and that unbelief that had plagued them for a generation had fallen in the desert, in that wilderness. And they were a new generation that was arising because it was their time. They were living in Joshua's time. And Joshua, for the New Testament believer, of course, he represents Jesus. And in historical Joshua, in the Old Testament, of course, he was one of the young men under Moses. And he had been one of the spies that had been sent in when they were brought out of Egypt and early on brought to the shores of the Promised Land. And Moses sent in 12 spies. And these 12 were taken from every tribe of Israel. And they were to be a leader from every tribe. And these 12 leaders were sent in early in the children of Israel's wanderings in the desert. God had actually had brought them to the shores of the Promised Land very early after their deliverance from Egypt. And these 12 leaders were commanded by Moses to go in and to spy out the land, as it were, and to come and bring back a report. What did the cities look like? What did the countryside look like? What did the people of the land who inhabit it, what did they look like? And we know the story well, that when they came back, they said, "Oh, Moses, this land is incredible, for truly it is a land flowing with milk and honey." But then they began to give what the Bible says an evil report, how the people were too strong for them, and they felt that they could never inherit the land that God had said he would give them. And, beloved, I want to say to you that entering the promised land for you and I, who know Jesus Christ, our Joshua, entering the promised land means entering into spiritual victory, entering into that place of spiritual victory. And the 10 men were brought, in the Old Testament, were brought to a place of believing God and couldn't do it. But Joshua and Caleb, 2 out of the 10, could easily see that it was God's time for them, that God himself had brought them to a place where he wanted to give them a dazzling spiritual victory, where they could enter into a promised land, where they could believe the promises of God to them. And a whole generation couldn't do it. But now God was bringing the scripture, the story, it tells us that they were turned back this whole, these 12 spies or 12 men called to spy out the land. And God took that whole generation that he had brought out of Egypt under the leadership of Moses, and he sent them back into the wilderness for 40 years. And Joshua and Caleb, two men who understood that God was well able to give them the complete spiritual victory, physical victory, every kind of victory God that was in God's heart to give to his people. These two men had to turn and return for 40 years with a people who were full of unbelief and grumbling and despair. And now we see that Joshua actually lived to see a whole generation now of people who have been raised in the wilderness. And the scripture tells us that God was so angry with that first generation because he 10 times in the wilderness had proven themselves in a miraculous way. He had released them from bondage of Egypt. And this generation who could not believe him died in the wilderness. And those 10 leaders of the tribes who couldn't believe when they were brought right to the brink of entering into major spiritual victories, those 10 died. And only Joshua and Caleb remained. And these men are still as strong and they're still as vibrant as ever. And now it is God's time to bring a generation into spiritual victory. And God says to him three times, he says, be strong and very courageous. Now I want to say that many times troops take their attitude or their cue from the leadership. And God is speaking directly to this leader, Joshua, and he's telling him, now you're going to have to be very strong and courageous. And that's the word to him. And we know that that's exactly what Joshua heard these words, and he began to speak them to the people. And he, you know, he was creating as if it were this, he was cooperating with God, and he was speaking the word over this new generation. And he was telling them, be strong and very courageous. And as surely as a corporate culture is influenced by the leadership that is over them, because they set the tone, they set the cue, they set the pace in the workplace, so too now is this God-raised leadership of Joshua and this team under them. They are now believing the word where God says, I have brought you now to the shores, a generation of spiritual victory. That's what the promised land is. But be strong and be very courageous because you live in an appointed time. You are now living in my time where I have dealt with the unbelief and I am going to bring you in. And it's not these words that were spoken to Joshua. This is not God's pep rally. This is not motivational speaking to get people into a frame of mind to do something. No, this was really, it resonated with Joshua because it truly was God's time for him and this people. It was God's time, God's word. It was God's leadership, and they were about to enter into a season of spiritual victory. And under this anointing now, that is given to Joshua, and he is believing what God is saying to him. Another spirit comes upon him, and it is able to break the strongholds that keep God's people from entering into a place of victory. And under Joshua and this anointing, the scripture says that Joshua and Caleb had another spirit, and we know that is the Holy Spirit, was upon them in strong measure. And they were as if it were of another spirit walking among the people. And they were being prepared. And you know, when they were turned back into that wilderness, God granted them because they believed God, even though they were not physically allowed to enter into the promised land. God put another spirit upon them, and they were kept for 40 years. They were kept to walk through a people who were totally discouraged, totally demoralized, totally unbelieving, and yet they were being kept. And because, beloved, this other spirit upon them, they were not allowed, they were not imprinted by the spirit around them. They did not take the spirit of where they lived and how they lived. It did not make a mark on them ultimately. They were kept usable in the wilderness. God was training them in that 40 years to be able to give them spectacular victories, spiritual victories. But when they were turned back and lived among a people that couldn't believe God, God granted them a special anointing. God gave them another spirit. And beloved, you and I can be kept in our wilderness. You and I can be kept by the same spirit, that same Holy Spirit. And we can be kept not to take the impress of this world, of the despair and the discouragement, of the defilement, of the longing for the things of the world. God has a purpose for you and I. And we are called for a season to be in the wilderness. But I want to say to you that I believe God is taking this church right to the brink of entering into great spiritual victories. And many people here, you have been kept in the wilderness. You know God has kept you from being swallowed by bitterness. You have trusted him when you should have been swallowed up and broken, when you should have took the impress, when you should have become like everybody else, bitter and consumed by your circumstance, by the people, by the handling, by your own, where you feel like your own failure should have taken you to another place and become like everybody else. But God is with us and God loves us and God knew we opened our heart to him. Hallelujah. And by, many can say, by the grace of God, I was not swallowed up by despair and by regret. It is not in vain that you have walked the path you are on. For God is keeping you. God is keeping you. Yes, there are bad days. Yes, there are days we're not proud of ourselves. Yes, there are days we feel we could do it better. But when we close our eyes, when we lift up our hearts, we know that we are living in the wilderness with the Holy Spirit. He is with us. Hallelujah. And God has many Joshuas who were turned back. What maybe they felt was a time where they could have moved forward in God and they missed it, or something kept them back, or there was a spiritual, seemed like a spiritual stronghold resisting them that they didn't understand. Maybe Joshua and Caleb didn't understand why believing God, where they could stand in front of the people of God and say, no, let us go at once into the promised land. You know, if I just read you the words Caleb said to Israel, he said to them, no, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome them. But the men that were with him, they said, no, we be not able to go up. They are stronger than us. And Caleb, you know, what can you do when the majority is saying, no, you're crazy. What, are you going to risk it all? Be quiet. And yet there's something burning in Caleb that he's looked at this land and he's seen it with other eyes by the grace of God. God is with him. And Joshua, he says, no. He said, look, if the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into this land. If the Lord delight in us. And there was no question in his mind but that the Lord delighted in them, because he took them out of the bondage of Egypt, because he was merciful and gracious to them, because he sent water from a rock, because he miraculously fed them, because he defeated their enemies, because when they were unfaithful to God, God was still faithful to them. He goes, if the Lord delight in us, the Lord has proved over and over, he delights in his people. That is one of the biggest lies in the wilderness, that God does not delight in you and I. No, God has his way, and he knows how to get glory from his people and defeat the enemy. When you and I are having a wilderness experience and we say, no, in Jesus, the Lord delights in me. And he is going to cause my feet to stand in a large place because he delights in me. And when we just begin to speak the word to the enemy and say, my enemy, I am not, don't gloat in me. I may be having a bad moment, but I remember the word of the Lord to me. And it can revive us as much as the word to Joshua revived him. Be strong and very courageous, for I have a people that I'm going to put my word in their mouth, and they're going to defeat the devil and say, if the Lord delight in me, the Lord delights in me. Hallelujah. The Lord delights in me because he chose us. The Lord delights in us because he sent us his son, Jesus. The Lord delights in us because he went to a cross that he may put away our sin. He sent his son among us to show us how much he loved us. And whosoever comes to the son enters into the family of God, and the Lord delights in his children. Hallelujah. And Joshua could see that and said, what will it take for God Almighty to prove to us that he delights in us? What is this stronghold over the people of God that can't believe that and can't grasp it? What kind of strange pride, what kind of religion that we feel we have to keep proving ourselves to God when he says, I have proved myself to you. Now settle it and do not let the enemy oppress you and keep you from me. And my delight in you, that you may delight in me. If the Lord delight in us, he will bring us into this land. And I say today, the Lord delights in his church. And he is bringing us into the land of spiritual victory. Hallelujah. It's a land which flows with milk and honey. This is not a pep rally talk. But if the Holy Spirit is in you, he's witnessing, son, daughter, I have guided you through the wilderness. I have proven that I have given you another spirit. I have comforted you when there was no other comfort. When you said, God, have I displeased you? Where have I gone wrong? And we heard his voice say, I love you and I am with you. That wasn't to say that many times there weren't things to change. But you know he visited you late in the midnight hour. And God did turn it around. Hallelujah. Why did God say three times to Joshua, be strong and very courageous? What was he referring to? Why would he say that three times? And I think that the word shows us very clearly what the Lord had in mind when he kept repeating to Joshua and then Joshua to the people, be strong and very courageous. This is what I believe the Lord was referring to. In verse 6, it was this. It says, be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land. Now the land, I believe, is going into that place of spiritual victory because we believe God. We judge he who made promises to us is able to keep them. And this people is a new generation. You see, the old generation, and I want to place for us as individuals, it's like the old man that keeps not entering in to what God is saying, entering into the promises God is giving us because of unbelief. This old generation, this people who were sown in unbelief, they have died in the wilderness. And you know, beloved, sometimes we have wandered in the wilderness, not because we're under the judgment of God, but because God knows that at the end of that wandering, unbelief is what dies in the wilderness, not his promise to us. The unbelief in our heart. And this was a new generation. And God says unto this generation, I'm going to divide the land. I'm going to bring a people in to the land, this place appointed for them, a place of spiritual flourishing and a place of spiritual victory and a place of faith. And he says to Joshua, be strong and very courageous, because it's unto this people, a new generation, who did not despise the land that I was bringing them into. You know, the old generation, they despised that place of spiritual victory. They did not esteem. They thought it lacking somehow. They looked at it and said, oh yeah, it's really good. But you know, giants live there and we'll be swallowed up there. We'll be prey to them. Not that they'll be bred to us, but fear, rebellion, the lusts, whatever, that's going to swallow me up. God, I want to believe there's a place of victory, but I know they're too strong for me. And God has a way of taking his people to a place. Well, what dies in the wilderness is our unbelief. God has a way of showing himself faithful to a new generation that are saying, Lord, I'm going to believe now that this place, there is a place of victory. It is found in you alone. That as I call on your name, Lord, there is no other name greater than your name. And that I'm not going to be kept from a place of spiritual victories because, Lord, I have only known in the wilderness a divided heart. But you're telling me it's time. You're saying there is a generation arising under the leadership of Joshua, under the leadership of Jesus, our Joshua, where he's saying to us, be strong and very courageous. I have a land, I have a place, I have a calling appointed for you. And it's not, if you only go in under my leadership, you only go in by my spirit, you only go in knowing it is by my death, my blood, you are set free and made clean. And when you enter that land of what I have, the life I have planned for you, where I have broken the power of sin because of my life and my blood and my death, where I offer you a place of life in me, and I come and I live within you by my Holy Spirit. And it is from that place that you cry out. It is from that place that you draw strength to move forward. Be strong and very courageous, for it's not a pep rally. It is life I am speaking to you about, the Lord would say to us today. Be strong and very courageous. You know, when they went into that land had all kinds of geography. Physically speaking, Israel has all kinds of geography. And some people, God was saying, when you go in, Joshua, you're going to take a group of people in. And when you get there, you are going to appoint each tribe of Israel a place where they are to occupy, that they are to subdue that enemy. And for some, they were appointed to live in deserts. For some, they were appointed to live in the mountainous areas where snow would come. Some were appointed to live by the sea. Some were appointed, they and their tribe, to live in the valleys. And the promised land was to be inherited by the 12 tribes. And I want to tell you something. God is glorified in diversity. God is glorified in diversity. And he knows that there that he would bring them in, and they would have to face different scenarios to live in their place appointed, that he appointed for them. And he knew that it wasn't going to be somebody's rule book. It had to be them drawing on the life of God, that he would show them how to live in the land he has appointed to them and how to live in that land victoriously. And, you know, the longer I live, I realize that Christianity and Christians, we're like the 12 tribes, you know? We come from different places of understanding, different cultures, different ways, different customs of doing things, different backgrounds, different religious backgrounds. And I think for very, very long time, you know, denominations have separated us. But I believe that, you know, denominations are like the scaffolding to get the building up. We are the building. We are the temple. And they have been used to some degree to get the building up, but they're not the building. And I believe that as we say, Lord, I want you to take me in and to a place of spiritual victory where only you can take me. Where, Lord, I have to trust you for that. We have this wonderful appreciation of loving the body of Christ in a new way. of appreciating people's testimonies and where they come from, how they got to a place of faith. Where we break down the walls of fear and mistrust because we'll know each other by the Spirit. For the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is in each believer. And we're going to know each other by the Spirit. And we're going to help each other. And there'll be a new respect and a new love in this promised land. There'll also be a new discernment. There'll also be a new understanding of who is pretending. But God will give us wisdom, and God will teach us how to walk unified, how to become a fighting force that they had to become under Joshua to take the land appointed them, the spiritual land. You and I, there are souls waiting to the place God has called us to live. There are souls waiting for us that we can only minister to them in the power of the Spirit. Our flesh does not want to do it. Our flesh does not want to go there. But we are living under Joshua's time. And the Lord says to us, be strong and very courageous, because I'm going to take you right to the walls of Jericho and they will be supernaturally demolished. Be willing. Just be willing. Trust me. Be strong. I have a place. I have a calling for you. I have something. I've not turned you away. I'm not keeping you just to the shores of Jordan and not letting you cross. I know your past, but I love you. Be strong and very courageous, because when I saved you for a purpose. Believe it. Believe it. Believe it. There is a place appointed for you. When I bring you into this land, I bring you in as a free people. And make sure that you go into that place, spiritually speaking, as occupiers. And don't be occupied. Do not be distracted and do not be occupied by a foreign power. It is your right as the children of God to come put everything under the blood and believe God for the breakthrough. That is your promised land. You and I have the privilege of bringing everything that is not like Christ to him. And he will not turn us away. He'll say, I've been waiting for this. You're coming by faith. You're coming with a very little strength. But I have a place appointed for you. And I will be your Joshua. And you will see those walls tumble in a supernatural way. Because you're living in Joshua's time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And God, I know, he says, you are going to be an occupying force, that you're going to punch spiritually above your weight. I am with you. It is your appointed time. And it's like, God, give us the grace to hear this and to believe it. Holy Spirit, witness this. There's nothing impossible with you. There is nothing impossible with you, O Lord. And I thank the Lord that, you know, when we occupy a land, we leave our mark. And it will be a mark of love. It will be a mark of compassion. It will be a mark of power of God in us. And as we walk, beloved, and we're in our place appointed, do not compare and do not criticize each other. Don't get sidetracked. Make sure that you fully occupy the place God has appointed you. Don't look to the left. Don't get sidetracked by that. Say, Lord, my business is to fully occupy the place spiritually you are bringing me into. The land of victory, of spiritual victory that you are speaking me today about. That's my thing. You won't fail me. So, Lord, don't let me fail and fall prey again to what happened in the children when they were in the wilderness, where they just spoke to each other, demoralized each other, lost faith. No, there is an anointing to become another man. Prayer, we go down one way, we come up another. There is anointing, become another man, another woman. We believe God in the face of defeat. We cry out his name and he comes and we are changed into another person. We open this word and this word has life in it. We become another person and we begin to say, oh God, I thank you. That no matter what I face today or what it looks like, you will witness to me some hope here. That it is you bringing me into this place of spiritual victory. Hallelujah. And then number two, be strong and very courageous. The Bible says in verse 7, It says only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. And you know, beloved, Joshua, under the leadership of Moses, received the Ten Commandments, and he received the law and the word, and he knew that this was the foundation, that God could now pour out mercy and grace and his power upon a people that were the people of the Bible, that knew the law of God and wanted the law of God and wanted to obey it, wanted to be shaped by it. And God says, be strong and very courageous. This is the one place he says very courageous when it comes to the law of God and the word of God. You know, we all know what it is at times to maybe go days without end really reading this word. We know what it is to read it where it just doesn't really seem to be saying anything. But these times when we walk through the wilderness, they will pass. It will not always be like that. And I believe that the Lord is saying that every time you read this word, I put a deposit in you. And it is changing you. And even when you go through the dry times, I'll lead you to a well. You'll be very surprised where my word will spring up into your mind. You'll be very surprised when you feel like I've got to be backsliding, and yet the word of the Lord will come to you and quicken you and give you desires and hope again. But we must be people that will turn to this word and say, Lord, in the days ahead, that Lord, I want to read this book. And better than read it, I want to hear this book. Because faith comes by hearing it. We've got to start to pray and say, Lord, I don't want to just read this book. I want to hear it. I want you to turn my eyes to ears. I want to be a person of understanding. I want to be a person that's going to believe you, that I will obey it. I want to be a person formed by this word. That's why the Bible says, be strong and very courageous, because the attack will be here. Be strong and very courageous. When you feel defeated, then to say, no, this is not the last word. I know that as I do and say, I want to be a person formed by this book, that your word, I can hear it. Lord, there's power in that. And you change me through it. There is a word of life in there, and I will be not turned from it. That this word is life, and Lord, I want to hear life. Because faith comes by hearing. And when I can hear it in the inner man, and I really know what you, Lord, are saying, then as I cry out and I ask you for courage and strength to live it, it will be granted. It will be given us. And as we read this book, we lose a taste for foolish things. There's something about the weight of the Bible. We lose a taste for foolish things. If there's things in your life you're not proud about, read this word. I don't know how or why, but it just has this thing to cut the cords that bind. It has the ability to strengthen our mind and give courage to our heart. It clears the air, and all of a sudden, what is truth and what is beauty instead of the pollution of this world starts to run through our mind. And set yourself the goal that you're going to read the whole Bible, all of it, every chapter. Get the big picture. Some point in your life, you're going to read through Leviticus, Numbers, and all the Bagats. In addition to Psalm 23. You know, when we read this word, it, you know, begins to make us some people of weight and substance. It comes out at the most surprising time. But it cuts much of the foolishness and the things we're not proud of, and those things that bring no profit to our life, and those things that eat away character and undermine, you know, what we know the Lord is shaping us to be. And it keeps us centered And there's a strength that comes from this word. And so the word to Joshua was, do not depart from it. Don't turn from the right. Don't turn from the left. Don't invent your own religion. Don't invent your own rules. Don't try to reinterpret it to fit your lifestyle. Just say, God, I bend my knee to this. And you will be blessed. You will be blessed. God who ordered the universe will order our lives. His truth will break through and things will get very clear. Not always easy, but very clear. And then the strength will come behind that because there's power in doing right. Let right be done. Then we're in line with God. Then we're in line with the power of good that is in this world, that is in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Be Bible readers. Be strong and very courageous to keep the commandments of God. Do that. And that God is saying, the Lord is saying here, it takes courage. It takes a lot of courage. It says, be very courageous. Be strong. But make this a year that's saying, Lord, I'm hearing you in this. I'm just going to be a Bible reader. But I'm going to be a Bible hearer. And finally, in verse 3, the third point is where he says, be strong and very courageous, is verse 9. And it says this, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee wherever you go. Hallelujah. The Lord is saying it's going to take the strength of God and courage to not be afraid, to not be dismayed. But you know, that's exactly Joshua's testimony. He should have been afraid and dismayed when he had to leave the promised land and go back in among the people for 40 years. He should have been overcome by them, but he was not. And these are the people that are being molded by God to lead in a time appointed where God knows what's coming on the face of the earth. But he has his Joshuas sown throughout his body that are saying, God, I believe you now. When the fear comes, when the despair comes, when things crowd in on me, I thank you because, Jesus, you are with me. The power of it will be broken. That Holy Spirit, you will quicken me. And as Joshua was not defeated in the wilderness, but another spirit kept him, so shall we be. God is saying, be strong and very courageous. The fear and the despair shall not swallow you. He's saying when these spirits want to overcome us, summon because you can. Summon and call on me because you will see I am with you and I am greater than the fear and I am greater than the despair. He's saying what will swallow a generation that is coming upon, an hour is coming that will swallow a generation with fear and despair. It is coming and we're seeing it every day. We're seeing the effects of it. And yet God says, no, I'm going to have a people who know I am with them. Who knows I am with them. And that makes all the difference. His presence is what takes us into spiritual victory. We will not be defeated by the enemies and the giants of despair and fear. We will not be swallowed up. There will be bread for us. Hallelujah. When a false leadership said, no, we won't go in because our women and our children, the young and the weak, will be pray for them. No, those of unbelief, those who couldn't believe God when his presence was for them and with them, they died in their unbelief. But those that was prophesied over, no, they will be pray. They're too young. They're too small. They're too little. They live in a difficult place. Everything they said, no, they can't make it. That's the voice of the enemy speaking. No, God says enemy said they will be prey. I will bring them in. And they shall be bread. Those enemies of fear and despair will be bread for them. I will be God to them. I will be God to them. I have appointed a time and a place that they shall occupy and know spiritual victory as they've never known it before, because they are trusting me, because they know I am with them. Hallelujah. The Lord said to Joshua, every place, verse 3, that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. And beloved, when we tremble before that word, we say, who is it that is speaking this to me? And we will honor the Lord. He said, I will not fail thee, and I will not forsake thee. He tells Joshua in verse 5, I will not fail you, and I will not forsake thee. As I was with Moses, I will be with thee. I will be with you. That is the secret of the success. Look away from everything else. God says, I want to prosper you. I wanted to give you good success. I want to take you into a land that people are astounded, that might receive glory in the land. It's the people who believe, I will be with you. I will not leave you, and I will not forsake you. And when you feel your lowest and your weakest, let us remember that God delights in us and in his people. He knows how to bring us to spiritual victory. He is faithful who promises us the promised land. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Now, as the musicians come, I just want to ask you to stand with me. God is with us. And the Lord is in this place. And he has spoken to many hearts here. And as I was speaking, you know, scenes of the past and places of defeat have come before your eyes. But can I tell you, the Lord is saying, you're living in a Joshua time. You and I live under the canopy of where Jesus Christ rules and reigns his church. And he has appointed us a place of spiritual victory. And the place we occupy may be small, it may be large, it may be in the mountains in a cold place, it may be in a desert. But God says, I am with you. And your enemies are trembling now. They are hearing a renown. There's panic in hell right now. The thought of anyone is saying, Lord, I hear you in this. I hear you in this, and I'm going to keep feeding your word to me. I'm going to be a hearer of the word. I hear this. It's going to give me courage and strength, but I'm believing today. I'm making that first step forward. I know this is not a pep rally. This, Lord, by your spirit, you were speaking to me, and you are greater than anything I face today. Hallelujah. And God delights in you. He delights in me. That is the word to you. God, if he delights in us, Joshua says he's taken us in. And then he took Joshua in. He delights in you today. He's taking you in. As the musicians play, all those that are saying, Lord, I am hearing you today. And I am saying, I'm coming. And it's a relief to come under your leadership, my Joshua Jesus. And I thank you. You promised to take me in. Jericho is going to supernaturally fall. I believe you today. As the musicians come, will you just come forward here into this place, and we'll make a declaration. We'll join the army of believing God to bring us through to a place of spiritual victory, and to keep us there, and to keep us in that place of victory. He is able. He is able. He is greater than anything that has ever tormented you or kept you back. He is greater. And today you feel that stirring. Don't look to yourself. You're not coming to make a promise to God. You're coming to receive his promise. You're not coming to say, I'm going to change. We can't change. We say, I receive your promise to me. I believe you, God. You see me and you love me. And you are taking me in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know that question, says it all in a nutshell. And that was really, really the Holy Ghost. The end of the day, whom shall I fear? What do I fear? Whom shall I fear? What do I fear? Even coming to this altar, what do I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. God's saying, please prove me. Please prove me. I'll take you in. I'll take you in. I took you out, and I'll take you in. And I'll keep you. He says, who do you fear? What do you fear? Scripture says, only fear the one who can keep you out of heaven and send you to hell. It's the only one to fear. That's God himself. He's the only one. And it's such a great question. Because when we leave here, and the enemy, who is fear incarnate, and rules us through fear, doesn't he? Let's be honest. That's how he does it. The Holy Spirit, he teaches us to reign in faith. The enemy, he rules in fear. Whom shall I fear? What do I fear? I thank you, Holy Spirit. You put your finger right on it. At the end of this message, whom or what do I fear? Because we've got the answer. The Lord is the strength of my life. He is the love of my life. He is my life. And he's greater. And he wants me to prove him right now. And beloved, we're going to leave with this song ringing in our heart and ringing in our lives. Because when the fear rises, we will remember who is greater. Who is greater. And where our strength lies. There's been a mighty defeat today through that song. Because you may not remember what I say, but there's something about a song that lives forever. And we're going to walk these streets. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord is the strength. It says, I am with you. I am with you. I am with you because I am for you. I delight in you. I am with you. You're going to break the back of the enemy with that one. Hallelujah. Let's sing it like we believe it. And let's receive that anointing to leave this place with another spirit, to be strong and very courageous in our God who is for us and loves us. Hallelujah. Sing it with gratitude. Sing it from your heart. Sing it till the bondage is broken and the anointing comes down. Hallelujah. Let's sing it. Hallelujah.